This audio presentation is the teaching of our guest speaker, Chaplain Frank Castagnetti. In this week's message entitled Freedom, Frank reminds us that while we celebrate the freedoms that have been earned through sacrifice this July 4th, we should also take time to reflect upon our freedom in Christ through His sacrifice. This message was delivered on July 1st, 2018. Here now is Frank Castagnetti.
Amen. Thank you, Lena and Mara. Give them another hand. Wow. No longer a slave to fear. We are a child of God. Amen. Well, good morning, New Hope. This morning, we have the great opportunity to listen to our very own Chaplain Frank Castagnetti, who is a chaplain down at the racetrack. He is a retired Marine. He is a counselor for the Department of Education. We get to hang out every Wednesdays and do devotions. He's a wonderful man. I even got to marry him, but I didn't marry him, but I married him. Understand? Yeah. You know, we don't do that kind of stuff here, but I did marry him and his lovely wife, Marcia. It was an honor to be a part of their life. But he's been a faithful worship team member. He helps with everything we need help in the church. And he has a great word for us this morning. So would you welcome Frank and say the Castagnetti.
There was a delay. Well, good morning, folks. Thank you so much. How's everybody doing? You know, all the things that Pastor was saying, they're just only possible because God is so good. I am blessed beyond measure to be able to have done a lot of things in my life and a lot of things that I get to do over because of His grace. So when they asked me to come up and put a message together and speak on freedom, or actually to speak, I was like, sure, no problem. And then you got to go in and you got to figure out, all right, what do I think I want to say, or what does God want me to say? And this actually came relatively easy to put together, and I don't know why, other than God is good. And so it came together well, so I'll let you guys be the judge of whether you can kind of get the gist of what I felt God put on my heart. So, there's a couple things about freedom. We celebrate here coming up on Wednesday is the 4th of July. And so I'm going to have two themes going on, talking about our freedom as a country and as Americans, but also our freedom in Christ, because I think that's where we want to maintain our focus. So as I was putting this together and then editing and going back, I looked up, and so from Merriam-Webster, the definition of freedom is a quality or state of being. So it's such as, it's an absence of necessity, coercion, or constraint, but 1B is liberation from slavery or restraint or from power of another, independence. There's also a definition of anarchy, absence of government, or B, absence or denial of authority or established order. So when you look at what freedom entails, you can see this juxtapose, two opposites going on here. Freedom is liberty from slavery. But we can't be so free that there's anarchy. There's got to be some rules, right? There's got to be some things that we need to follow. There's got to be some order and structure. So we can't have anarchy. So that was interesting to me to see what was going on where you look at definitions of the words. So I want to speak about freedom in light of the country and our Lord. So as Americans, we're coming up on our 242nd Independence Day, our celebration as a nation. It's a historical day for a lot of reasons. We celebrate a hard-fought freedom from religious and government oppression, rule, and tyranny. That's what started this when we were developing our new world. We were outnumbered, outfinanced. We were facing tremendous odds. We were not favored. If Vegas was around, the odds were stacked against us. But, you know, our Continental Army, our armies, our Navy, our Marines, they succeeded in cementing our place in a new and free nation. They fought for our independence. And this set into motion this grand experiment that we have in the United States of an independent, free republic. It's a nation that's ruled by the people, but it's governed by elected officials. But thousands of years before America even became a dream or an idea, you know, Jesus overcame all odds to conquer sin, and he provided everlasting freedom to those who trust in him, right? There is this part of something we need to do, right? It's not by our works, it's our faith. But if we trust in him, you know, he provides for us. So on that day, it's a historic day on Calvary when he was crucified and he died. But on that day, he ensured for all mankind that there's an opportunity for redemption. There's an opportunity for freedom and a release from slavery. Up until that time, if we think about it, right, all through the Old Testament and up and through, there really was no mechanism other than following what the Pharisees and Sadducees said, you need to do this and that and all these sacrifices. There was no redemption for sin that led you to eternity with God until Jesus fulfilled the scriptures. So when he did that, the battle was won. His love conquered all of that. Not by what I do, not by what you do, but by what he did. And all we need to do is be able to claim that. The eternal salvation was and is freely given to us. All we need to do is have faith in his love. Amen? So we're free. And you know, here's the greatest part. We're so free, in fact, that we have the freedom to reject Jesus. We have the freedom to say, no, no thank you. Don't need it. Moving on. I got this. Right? And I do that a lot during my day. You know, it's like, hey, God, you know, I talk to God about what I'm going to do. And he sits back and he goes, okay, son. And I'm like, watch this. I got this. And inevitably, if I don't fail, I mess up. That's true. I don't get the mark. But you know what's worse is when I do hit it and I get really prideful and I'm like, yep, check that out. Watch this cuz kind of stuff. And then later on, you know, something crumbles and falls. So I found that when I let it go and let God do it, he does much better than what I had done. He tells me, watch this, son, when I let go. So, you know, I share something a little off of what I had written. Yesterday I had an opportunity to spend some time with John Brown, and I had some time in the morning. And one of the things he was sharing with me as we're talking, and he shared this with me many times, but this time it really kind of hit me and stuck. And I'm going to paraphrase, and if I ruin it, go see John, because he's the owner of this, okay? But it means so much. But it basically is, I really try to tilt the world onto my axis, like it rotates around me, right? I'm the center of the universe. I want God to see what I'm doing and have his idea of my plan work out to what I envision. And that's a lot of energy. It's a battle. And I lose on that front so often. But when John was talking, he goes, but when I just say, you know, he's been doing it, he's got a plan, he's going to continue to do it long after I'm gone. If I just align myself in his orbit, if I tilt into his axis, and I just become a body around him, right, things just flow so much easier. So that was my takeaway of like, yeah, on those days that I think I'm the center of all things, then, you know, I'm going to be an asteroid or a comet shooting off, bouncing off something, crashing into something, probably being ooh and ah as I pass, but when I hit something, I'm going to bring destruction, right? So I much prefer to align myself with what God wants to do, and I don't always have the answer. I don't know. A lot of it is like, hey, okay, God, you're, it's not I'm going to make like uncle and tap out, you win, but it's more of like, okay, I've tried my best. Now you do yours. So he allows that in us. But he allows us with his freedom. He allows us to reject us. He gifted us freedom of free will. We have choices to make. We all do. And we do this all day long. But to have the final choice in who we're going to trust, what will take precedence in our lives, when we're going to do things, where we're going to turn for guidance, you know, why will we make a certain choice or decision, and how we're going to live our lives. Those are our choices, and that's real good freedom. I'm suggesting that we do that in the context of the freedom of Christ. So I'm going to be talking, as you can see, I'm wearing my Racers for Christ shirt, and like Pastor said, I'm a chaplain with Racers for Christ. I'm the only one in the state at the moment, and Racers for Christ is a non-denominational organization that whose motto, and you can see it, we bring inspiration to the world of motorsports, and I get to take my love of God and intersect it with my love for racing. Now, RFC in and of itself, there's all kinds of racing, and I'm a drag racer at the racetrack. So that's my passion. But there's dirt tracks, there's motorcycles, there's boats, there's Riders for Christ, Riders for Christ. So RFC, really, if it's got an engine, they want to be involved. On the professional level, you know, like NASCAR and these guys, I know you've seen them on TV. These guys, that's what they do for a living. That's their profession. They're gone from their home. They're gone from their home church. So RFC has a presence at these venues, and they hold chapel services. And they get to go out, and they minister, and they pray with people of any faith, of any belief, of any denomination. So it doesn't matter where they're at. So I was able to, I've been a part of RFC for 20 some odd years, but finally, after a while, I applied, I went through the courses, and they approved me to be a chaplain here. So I want to thank you folks, because you see that checkered tent there, that pop-up tent? I approached the council, and I put a proposal together, and I said, this is something of a ministry that I have, and I could really use a pop-up tent, and I needed something, and so it's through your support of this church that I have a tent. And you know, a checkered tent at a racetrack stands out like a sore thumb. Everybody knows where it's at. So I've kind of branded myself. I set up at the same place all the time. And so the RFC tent is just blaring out through the racetrack all day long. So that's basically the setup that I put together for the races at the drag strip. So in Galatians 5:1, it talks, and this is in your bulletin, so it's for freedom that Christ has set us free. We're to stand firm and not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. It's pretty brave to be able to go to a racetrack where if you're whatever you conjure up in your head or what you've watched on TV and see of guys or gals racing, you're not going to picture this. Right? That's not the kind of thing that comes to your mind. That's not what you envision. So I have to be brave enough to go out there and follow through on the calling, and God blesses that. So, however, unlike the battle for our American Revolution, we don't need to fight for our freedom. Paul, in writing to the people here in Galatia, he encourages us to take advantage of our gift of freedom. It's by Christ's sacrifice, folks, not by our efforts, not by my efforts, that's provided our freedom. We're able to live our life for a greater purpose of glorifying God and His kingdom and stepping out in love with a servant's heart. I'm at the track when I'm working as a chaplain to serve. Yes, I'm going to race at some point, but right now I'm there to serve, and that's what I do. We draw upon our freedom in Christ and our freedom in the United States Constitution to stand firm against any form of slavery of the mind, of the body, of the soul. And God's gift of freedom allows us to seek out His will in our life. This is a pic I'm praying with Paul and his daughter. And this was a race that was dedicated actually to Paul's father, who had passed away. He was a racer and a veteran and all of that. And they were there. And so I had the opportunity to pray with them at the track and minister to them and be there at a really challenging time for them, because they love racing, but they're so close to where their father was. And they both race. And I had the opportunity to be able to spend some time with them in prayer. In 2 Corinthians 3:17, we're told that now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. We sang of that in the song this morning, and there's freedom wherever God is. You know, where two or more are gathered, where the Father is at, there's freedom. There's freedom of our will. There's freedom of our choice. So His freedom, it not only leads us, but it shields us. It protects us. So I want us to think about that. We benefit from the protection that it's multifaceted. We can make our own choices and decisions. We can, through prayer and reflection and redemption, find opportunity for do-overs. Andy Stanley, an author, suggests in his book that we ask ourselves a really simple question. What is the wise choice? What's the wise decision? And this allows us to mend those choices that upon reflection, we find they weren't the wisest. I mean, I don't know about you, but I am constantly doing that. Okay, I chose this, I did that. Was that where I needed to go? And a lot of times it's through experience I sit back and go, that wasn't a smart decision, the wise decision, the best decision. And so instead of trying to tilt everything to me and my axis, I need to get realigned with God. Ask for forgiveness, and he goes, okay, jump back in there. Here we go with this. So that's a real awesome blessing that we have a power of protection through his freedom. Since the Holy Spirit's our helper, I'd suggest we seek wisdom and guidance throughout the day. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 encourages us to never cease praying, which to me is nothing more than just having an ongoing conversation with Jesus throughout the day. It's a constant just, you're talking and talking and talking. That is that prayer and supplication that we're encouraged to take part of in Scripture. So I walk in freedom. This is in Psalm 119. I will walk about in freedom, for I have sought out your precepts. Go back one, Shell. Thanks. So I get to pray with the racers when they're in the pits or when they're lined up and they're getting ready to go. This is Pete Comandini, Pistol Pete, and he's out of Waikoloa, and he has a jet-powered dragster. Okay, it's a Witten Prattney engine in the back there. It's a jet engine. He sits in front of it. And he knows the Lord, and he's got one of these. He's got some old RFC stickers on his car from many years ago. But I asked him to pray. I asked him if I could pray with him. I always ask that, can I pray with you? And he was like, absolutely. And he had an expletive in there, and he goes, can I say that? And I said, yeah, I think you need to. And so we strapped him in, we got in there, and his crew was there, and we said a prayer. And, you know, my prayer is pretty simple for any of the racers. We ask for safety. We ask for speed. We ask for coverage and protection, and we ask that he be glorified in each and every pass down the strip. So I get to do this, and it's so awesome because I get to pray with someone, and then I have a really nice seat in the house because I get to sit there and watch him. At some time, I've got the video. If you've never, when he fires this thing up and he bangs the, it's actually got a stretch. It's a Mercedes body that fits over it like a limo. But he goes faster without it, so he usually races roadster style like this. But when he's spooling up, you hear the engine winding up, and then they move all the equipment out of the way, and he starts to apply some of the fuel, and then he starts hitting the afterburner as part of the show, and it's just this loud, visceral bang whine. And then when he launches, it's like being on a airstrip when the jet takes off, because that's what it is, and then he just shoots off down there and makes a run. It's amazing to watch this car go. But if you know, I don't know about you folks, but when I've done my devotions in the morning, I have a sense of comfort and purpose. I feel a little bit more relaxed, and I get up, say a prayer, when I open my eyes, okay, it's not heaven, it's my bedroom. Thank you, Lord, I got another day, and now what do you want me to do? So that's how I start my day. I don't do my devotions right away because I'm kind of like up and rolling and I got to get my routine going. But I have an opportunity when I get to work at Pahoa Elementary, and that's usually when I do them because I'm in early, so I take some time there to kind of center myself there. And I'll admit, when I do my devotions, most of the time, it's not this big thing that hits me and bowls me over and, oh, Lord, thank you so much for that. It's usually not that. It's something that I might not realize till later in the day. It's something simple, something gentle, something quiet. Sometimes, honestly, it might not be anything of a revelation in that day. But it's part of the ongoing love story that God gives to us in doing our devotions. So I get to work. I knock out my devotions. My wife, Marcia, is sending me the verse of the day off of Caleb. So now I've got kind of two different reinforcements. I've got whatever we're reading in this Bible plan, and then I've got the verse of the day. And so I'm very blessed to be able to have her supporting me in doing that. And in my work, sometimes less is more, right? Everyone's striving for more and more. I work at Pearl Elementary School, and I'm a behavior health specialist, which basically means I'm the school therapist for the students with special education needs for emotional behavioral health. So I work with these students. And they're under a tremendous amount of pressure to conform, listen, follow rules, walk straight, don't run, all those things, and to perform, get your work done, do this, complete that, then we can move on. And, you know, I've got a walkie-talkie, and I'm in my office, and my phone rings, or the walkie-talkie goes off, they're asking for assistance, somebody sees me if I'm walking about, and they ask me to come and help. And that's why I'm there, and I love doing it. I really don't like being in my office, so I'm out and about all the time. And so I usually take a nice couple of breaths, and the words of Pastor Scott and Pastor Aaron and Pastor Dennis come to mind, I get to. Now, I don't know what I'm about to get to, but it'll become evident as I get to where I need to be. I get to help a student. I get to help a teacher. I get to help the other kids in the class, because if I'm coming in and I'm there for little Malia, no problem. Or if I'm in there for little Keikoa, that's okay. But all the kids are watching me, and they know who I am, and they know why I'm there. So I've got to watch myself on how I'm going to intervene, intercede, support. But I get to do that. I get to help the teacher. I get to help admin. I help custodians, janitors. So I really am blessed. I love this school. It was such a blessing, and my wife and some of you were helping praying for me. I had applied and went through interviews for a year and a half of interview after interview after interview after next interview, and just going and going and going, and nothing was happening. And I was really starting to question, is this where I need to be? And then I got one interview at one school and one at another one that were back-to-back, and they both offered me jobs, and I had to come home and pray with my wife and go, what do you think? This is what I'm looking at, and we made a decision, and so I was in. So I'm very blessed to be able to be there with these young men and women and helping them. But again, I get to do this. I have the freedom in my job to not be in the classroom teaching with just a set number of kids. I get to go about. I have the freedom to work that whole campus. I come in early. I'm in the cafeteria. I get to be up there with the kids, help serve if they need it, be at the bus ramp. I get to greet the kids when they get dropped off, come off the bus, parents are dropping them off, or in the afternoon when they're leaving. I get to do all those things. So it's a wonderful time of freedom that we have in Christ. If we can align ourselves with what he wants for us and be patient, yeah? You know God answers all the prayers, right? You know he answers every one of our prayers. Every now and then he says yes. Sometimes he says no, but most of the time he says wait. Most of the time that's an answer. Wait, hold on. And his timing, as we know, is not our timing. So he tells us to wait a lot. So on these next two scriptures I'm going to share with you guys, they're kind of my favorite in this message. And the first one is, first I'll explain. This isn't this was a meeting. So, I'm trying to be in my servant heart down there and greedy for God. I had some friends that were trying to run a race within the race, and they were like, oh, boy, it's hot. Can you hang out of your tent? Absolutely. Because I knew what was going to happen. Everybody's got to come to the RFC tent. So that's what happened all day long. Racers get to the RFC tent and register. Racers get to the RFC tent and sign up. Racers get your line. So everything was RFC tent, RFC tent, RFC tent. If you don't know where it is, look for Chaplain Frank. He's down here in the blue and white shirt. He'll take you over. And so we had all these men and some of the women just all around the tent, all day long. And then they've got the sign up on half of my table, and they're paying their money, and they're signing up, and they're looking, and they see the Bibles, and they see the devotionals, and they see the stickers, and they're like, okay, I'm like, take them. RFC provides me all of this stuff for free. So all of the materials I have, I'm just giving it away, and then I make another order, and then they send more back. So these guys are, so more Racers for Christ stickers are showing up on all the race cars, and then I'm like, I'm trying to keep a mental note who's grabbing stickers so I can go over and pray with them later on. Freedom. Freedom, freedom, freedom. If I trust in God, he's going to do what he needs to be done down at this racetrack and minister to folks. So, in 1 Corinthians 9:19, though I am free and belong to no one, I've made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. This is Paul speaking, right? Paul is talking to the folks in Corinthians there. And that's what it is. Now here, a slave, right, he's talking to them in the terminology and the context that they understand. They were still masters and slaves at this time in Corinth. So if I'm going to be a slave, I want to be a slave to God and His kingdom. I want to be a slave and work hard for my wife and our relationship. I want to be a slave to my daughter and my grandson, to work hard for them and to minister to them and to support them. I guess that's a kind of free slavery that I'd rather, you know, choose to want to do rather than be locked up and be enslaved and be told what to do. At least in this, in a servant's heart that we all possess, in wanting to help others, God will smooth that for us. He will make that out. I'm setting up, I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do, and if I just go, all right, God, I don't know what you got or how you want this done, but let's just make this happen, and He does. So like I was sharing, as the therapist at Pahoa Elementary, I can move along. And the other thing I get to do is, for a while I could get Caleb on the computer, and then somehow Satan got in there and now I can't get Caleb, but I can get Pandora. So I got Pandora on, and I got, I think it's 2015's greatest Christian radio hits, and it's just looping all day long, and it's loud enough for me to sit at my desk but not blaring outside, but I get to have music, Christian music playing all day long, covering my school. And you know, and I'll put this out there, and there's a lot of us that work in the secular world, and of course I've got to watch myself. There's many Christians that work with us in different departments and work with the state and in government. So I'm not saying that we hide from that. There's freedom in that. But I also have to be aware and respectful that I can't just be bowling over. I'm in a position of quite a bit of power with the students. And even though I'm walking in Scripture, Pastor Jaywin says this, and you've heard it, right? It's go forth and spread the gospel. Occasionally use words. So really, our walk is what is going to catch as many people, right? It's not what's taught, it's what's caught. And children are always watching us. So it's not really what I'm saying, it's what I'm doing that matters to them. It's what I'm doing. So I can live out and exhibit Scripture all day long. I just can't leave when someone, if someone asks me and they go, where are you getting or where are you coming from? I'll share that with them if I have the opportunity. But most times it's subtle and it's easy and I'll tell them, hey, it's because of God and His grace and His beauty that I'm able to do this. And I love, keep calling me. I'd rather come to your classroom 10 times and really not be needed 9 of them. But you don't call me that one time, and then we really have a problem. You know, somebody gets hurt, the classroom deteriorates. I don't want that. So I encourage the teachers, call me. I'd rather show up more when not sure than if we really have a problem going on. While I'm at school, I have so much more freedom. We had a commandment. We partner with Commandment Schools, and they had a cool call all day. So we get to Palm Poi and have the kids coming around. I get to spend some time with them doing that. And you know, children, when they're hands-on, they really get the messaging more. So we can speak into their culture, our culture here in Hawaii, if you're not Hawaiian, at least the culture of Hawaii, and spend time doing that. I have that freedom, and I thank God for that ability to be able to have that time. Some of my favorite scriptures I've got in my office is, this is Proverbs 12:25. Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. So encouraging words before testing helps to lower student anxiety. So I had one student, and you know, schools, they love to test, and then they test on top of their tests. And he was losing his mind, he just couldn't get it, and he crawled under the desk. So I'm like, okay. The sped teacher was attending to the other kids, as you can see them sitting there. So I grabbed his test, and I'm not a test administrator, so I really wasn't supposed to do this, but I took his test and I went under the table with him, and I said, it's okay. Now, I can't help you with this, but I'll sit here with you. And he started to get some of it done, and he had a hard time taking tests. But he was really getting crushed. He was really getting nervous about the test anxiety. I mean, I have that. I don't do good with tests. I want to be under a desk a lot of time during the day, so I could relate to it. He and I were comfortable under there. Proverbs here, the anxiety, he was just flat out depressed. He couldn't do the work. So being able to go, it's okay, I hear you, I'm right here with you. I couldn't do the test for him. I couldn't take anything off of his plate other than to go, I got it a little bit, but you got to do the work. And he started to, and he got it finished. Another one I have is in Proverbs 17:22. A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up bones. So when they go, hey, you're always smiling. Well, I love having a cheerful heart, because if not, I feel like I'm just, it's chafing. Yeah, it's kind of that picture of chafing, and I don't like that, having that sense and that feeling. So I try to be, as much as I can, open and smiling and willing to serve and willing to be there. And when I do that, I get to uplift other people's spirits. And God is good in this, that he blesses me to see that right away. Most of the times, I get to see this cheerfulness, excuse me, and their spirit get uplifted. So using Paul's examples here, and I think also in Luke, my freedom in Christ allows me a lot of opportunities to serve others. And even though I'm talking a lot of what I'm doing, and it's part to share my testimony and encourage you, I want you to look through me, because none of this is possible without God. I want you to look through what I'm saying, and if you can feel encouraged and motivated, then I think that's the essence of this message. Look through what I'm doing and find out where you can do things. So, of course, Christmas comes around or May Day comes around. Can you play? Okay, fine. So we will all get up, and so we've got folks that are, you know, in teachers and our, you know, we've got our computer tech guy. Kumi Nick is with Kamehameha. John's a retired teacher. He had retired this past year, but they came back and they sang. So we got to sing Christmas music during the the holiday party at the holiday assembly. But we got to sing Christmas music for the kids and for the families. So it was another opportunity to serve, and it was just awesome to be able to do that. So here, when the track was closed down for 2.5 years, so thank you for paying your taxes. Because without those taxes, we wouldn't have a facility that's ADA compliant, a brand new strip down there, new concession stands. It's beautiful. So thank you for paying your taxes, because I get to enjoy that. But they asked me to say a few words and open the track with a blessing, which I was honored to do. So people, they stopped everything. They said, come down to the starting line, and we got to have a blessing as an opening before the season started a few months ago, back in February. So I get to do that, again, through God's freedom, through me being obedient. I don't know what it's going to take. I want to get down there. Let's see what we can do. So he allows that. The last couple of things, you know, as a last year I was coaching up at Kamehameha School as a football coach, and I was really excited. I'm still excited. And what was beautiful about Kamehameha there is that as a Protestant school, the coaches, we prayed before every practice, and then we closed practice in prayer with the players. And that was very unique for me, to have the prayer built into, that was one of the reasons I had applied and was excited to do that. And it was just a different aspect of coaching. We called ourselves like a dual threat coach, because we want to win. Make no mistake about that. We're out there to win. But we also want to make sure that our boys and girls who are on the team, they're young men and women of integrity. They're willing to do the work, and we will sacrifice the win to maintain the integrity. And that was different for us as coaches. This year I'm stepping down. I already had talked to the coach. I'm not going to do the coaching this year. We've got too much on my plate in helping at the school and doing the racing. So, but it was near and dear to my heart. And my wife knew, and when I was sitting with her, I go, hey, football up there was 5 days a week of practice, games on Saturday, coaches meeting Sunday. And it was a lot. It was a busy 6 months. And actually, it's a year-round football thing, but officially it was a very busy time. So I needed to step back. I just couldn't have all that on my plate and serve all of them well. So I had the freedom to be able to step down, and they understood. And they still invite me up there as a volunteer. They said, hey, just don't resign. Step down and just change your status from a stipend paid coach into a volunteer, and then you're covered. So one of the last things in closing, we're called to be fishers of men, right? We want to go out and do that, folks. We want to be able that in Jeremiah, in John, we're reminded that knowing Jesus' freedom, what it says in John 8:36 is, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. So I want to encourage you, as we go forward in our day, as we seek understanding of truth, and we see this freedom manifest in our life, I want you to remember that we know the truth. The truth will set us free. The truth is Jesus. And I want to provide an opportunity here at this time. If you've never had the opportunity, I want to invite you to come and know Jesus. And if you could, folks, as I'm going to close up here, you know, if you could bow your heads and close your eyes, and if you could say this prayer with me. It's like, Father, thank you for Jesus. I want you to come into my heart. I want you to change me, Lord God. Cleanse me. Make me the person you want me to be. I receive you, Jesus, as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. So listen, with your eyes closed and your head bowed, with that, if any of you prayed that prayer for the first time, could you raise your hand? Anybody out there? Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Bless you. Father, you've seen these hearts and minds, and whether they raised their hand or they didn't, Lord God, you heard the prayers. I heard the prayers. Father, I'd ask you to watch over us, to bless us. For those that know you that are coming back as a prodigal son and daughter, Lord, we know that heaven rejoices. For those of us that are new to you, Lord God, help them to reach out to us, to let us know that they made a commitment to you, Lord God, and help us to come alongside them and shepherd them and show them your freedom, Lord. We just praise and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Would you thank Frank?
Thank you, Pastor.
Okay, we're going to ask that you prepare your hearts for communion. As the ushers, are they going to be passing out the elements? I'd ask that you hang on to them so we can take it together. Man, communion, like I always say, is like a snapshot or a picture of what Jesus did for us. I mean, back then, they never had Polaroids, they never had iPhones or a camera to take a picture and to remember things. So Jesus painted this picture for us with bread and wine. And he talks about this in Corinthians that the night that he was betrayed, he said, you take this bread, which is broken. This is his body. You know, he was broken on the cross. And then his blood, he shed his blood. Why did he have to do that? So that we could be cleansed from our sins. So he did this for us. So why? So that we can remember him. Because how many of you forget? See, all of you didn't forget to come to church, but the guys next to you, they forgot. They're still sleeping. That's why there's an empty seat next to you, because they forgot. It was Sunday. You know, I take medicine every day or every day and every week, and some days I'm to the point where I need a pill box for Monday, Wednesday, and a.m. and p.m. And, you know, even with those pill boxes, I still forget. So it comes time to refill my prescription. They said, oh, I don't need any. Then how come? Because I forgot so many times I have an extra month supply. But Jesus did this for us so that we don't forget, that we remember him, that every time you get up, every time you breathe, every time you take a breath, you remember Jesus. Every time you drink grape juice, you think we do this to remember Jesus and remember what he did for us, how he was tortured, how his body was broken, how he shed his blood, so that we, you and I, can be forgiven. And if you pray that prayer with Frank, then hey, the Bible says that there's a place for you in heaven because of what Jesus did for us. Amen. Hey, Mike, could I have a set up here, please? And, oh, he's coming. Thank you, honey. Oh, my wife got for me. Oh, here. Can't come. Here, put it up here. I'm trying to get my wife up on stage. Yeah, so put it right here. Yeah. Thank you, honey. Yeah. Thank you so much. That's my lovely wife. 10 years I've been trying to get her up on stage, Sally. I'm trying to get her to give a message one day. She says, no, it's not my calling. But one day, but why don't we bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, as we prepare to take communion, to remember what you have done for us, Lord, cleanse us, forgive us of our sins, make us whole, make us complete, make us mature, make us into the people that you need us to be. And as we take communion, Lord, we remember the things that you have done for us, the sacrifice, the pain, the suffering, the bloodshed, all because you love us. So thank you, Lord, that we get to take communion this morning to remember what you did. In Jesus' name, amen. So on that night that he was betrayed, he got the bread, and he didn't cut it nice and like how he got it cut nice. He just ripped it and broke it because his body was broken and shredded. So he took the bread. He said, do this. Take this bread. And every time you do this, remember me. Remember what I did for you on the cross. You may take up the bread. Bless you. And then he took up the cup, the blood, the new covenant. You can take up the cup together. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much that you have made this thing called communion so that we can remember you and what you did for us. We are grateful for what you did. And we remember you not just right now, but every day. Every time we get up, every time we see the sunrise, the sunset, the rain, the sun, we remember you and we are grateful. We thank you so much for what you have done for us. We love you and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so don't forget those dates that I gave you now. Okay? And one last thing before you guys all go. We got a lot of food, so hang out and eat. I think the last time I checked, we only had like 9 people sign up for softball. And we need at least 10 or 11 or maybe 15 or 20. That way we can take a break. Right? So even if you don't play softball, sign up anyway because it's great fellowship. Amen? Well, this is Sunday, so the rest of the week, I pray that you would have a great, fantastic week, that you would be safe, that you would meditate on the word that was spoken today, that you would walk in freedom, freedom to serve God. Amen. God bless you all. Have a great, great afternoon.
You've been listening to Chaplain Frank Castagnetti at New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Kaʻau, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.